I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Still like what he's doing. I still like what he's doing. He leads our defense, or helps to lead our defense, because we have a lot of leaders out there. When he hits you, he hits you hard. He hits you tough. He processes quick. So a quick processor. So that means that when things are about to happen, he sees it in advance. And just expect Roquan to continue to get better and better and better. But I expect everyone on the defense to do that, not just Roquan.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Mully, Patrick Manley, and Anthony Herron. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook app today.
Yes, indeed. It is the pregame show, and we just heard from Alan Williams there. He's the Bears defensive coordinator. He was talking about Roquan Smith, and Roquan's situation is fascinating. I mean, this is a guy that had a hold-in during camp, right? Didn't get to play a lot. Didn't play in any of the preseason games. He was in a contract impasse, which they could not resolve. Now, the Bears obviously hold the franchise tag, so it doesn't necessarily mean he's going anywhere, and there is a possibility you could reach a deal with him, but he seems to want to reset the linebacker market, and they seem unwilling to give him that money, or they already would have. And meanwhile, he picks up a hip injury, which didn't allow him to practice all week, and he's listed as questionable. They said repeatedly, Alan Williams said, they expect him to play. They talked about what a pro he is. But, I mean, the guy's in a contract year. He's putting some bad football on tape, or not his best football on tape. That's not how you get paid. If you know, part of being a professional is playing through injury, and it's a very important thing to do. And we all understand that. But there is also plenty of different moments where guys make business decisions. And they say, hey, I got to worry about me and my contract, and I can't go and play hurt. I think we all expect to see Roquan, but do you think this is the decision that he had to make, this contract issue hanging over him?
You know what, guys? I hope not. There's one thing, all players know how injured guys are. You know what I mean? So they'll see you in the training room. They'll see you, trying to come back for Sunday. And if they know that he can play and he doesn't play, he's going to lose respect for all his teammates. He's going to lose all that respect from his teammates. And everybody talks about how great of a teammate he is. He's voted a captain. You have to play if you're injured. You have to. Even if, not if you're injured, sorry, if you're hurt. Let's put those two separate things here. If you're hurt, you need to play. And this could actually help him. This could show other teams or the Bears, hey, he's willing to play through an injury. And he's willing to go out there and be with his teammates and try to help them win. I just hope that's not going through his mind at all. I hope it's just, hey, I want to be out there with my guys. I want to help them beat the Houston Texans. And that's the way he should be thinking. But if he doesn't play and guys think he can play, then he's going to lose complete respect in that locker room, and that's not good for this team.
I do think it ends up being a little more complex than that because of where the Bears are as a franchise too, though. You know, like last season, where there was a lot of these guys who were getting longer in the tooth, and it was known that, all right, this is kind of the end of what we thought would be a lengthy window, and we got to show something. We got to win big if this is going to stay together. And you had Akeem Hicks in a contract year trying to figure out if Khalil Mack is going to stay around. All these other things that kind of factored into that, which had more of a win now vibe to it. Yeah, I believe the players in the locker room who, you know, you try to insulate yourself from that outside noise as much as you can, and everybody's uber confident, so you're taking the field believing that all the work you put in will lead you to victories. Well, at the same time, everybody knows that the franchise has only put a certain level of investment financially into this season, and of course, they all know that Roquan's in a contract year. So I do think there's a level of realization, especially from certain guys who've maybe already kind of been there, been around the block a little bit, maybe had their payday opportunity or are hoping for soon that their payday opportunity may come. I do believe there's a realization that can be there. Now, you know, if everybody just sees, like, if Roquan's just hobbling around looking like he's dragging his leg everywhere, and then it's more obvious, more apparent that he can't play. Now, the sliding scale of how quickly may a guy get upset because they expect that he's going to be out there leading the defense, and if he's not and they don't truly believe that he's that banged up, then yes, there's no doubt something that could, you know, kind of creep in and erode some of the culture, some of the togetherness that can be there from it. Could guys look at him a certain way? No doubt. But I do think just from a business perspective, there is a realization of the level of risk that would be taken on if you go out there and are you just a notch below 100%, or are you potentially messing up your money? I mean, I do think there's enough guys in the locker room that would recognize that sliding scale that Roquan would be dealing with, where they wouldn't necessarily be quick to judge if it's known. Like, yeah, he's pretty banged up. A game off could end up enhancing that. But then a game on could really put him in a position where he's maybe jeopardizing the long-term health of things. I do think that realization is there, even with guys he's closer with. That conversation, you know, would likely be taking place in certain situations.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I understand that. If he's truly injured, yeah, he shouldn't be playing. But, you know, this is a game, I think, to me, it's changed a little bit, where the players have now become 100%ers, where they need to be 100% to play. and that makes me a little upset that, you know, I hate to talk about back when I played or whatever, but I think you see a lot of guys now that – we'll tell the trainer or the coach, I just can't go because I'm not 100%. Well, you're not going to be 100% for 17 weeks. And I just hope that what you're talking about, Anthony, that fine line, you're right, it is a fine line, that if he can play, that he goes. I really hope so.
And I would say this, too, because, Mully, where Roquan finds himself, the fact that, and I know you and David talked about it a lot in the mornings, the fact that Roquan and the Bears didn't come to a deal, not both sides have put themselves in this situation. Mm-hmm. Where the Bears, I mean, it'd be, if Roquan was out there lighting it up these first two games, and then he was like, all right, you know, I got this hip thing, maybe I'm not going to go, then we would be looking at the onus and the faults for the scenario being more on the Bears, because then everybody's like, man, how can you not get, look at the way this guy's playing, look at the way Roquan flying all over the field making these plays, how dare you, Bears, put Roquan in this position where he doesn't have his long-term money. Right now, he hasn't performed up to what we think is that Roquan Smith standard through the first two games, and now it does feel like the onus of perception is more on Roquan at the moment, and especially representing himself. And so now both sides have put themselves in this, what can end up being an awkward position during the season. Every time there's a missed practice, every time there's a question of whether or not he's going to be in the game, we're all going to wonder how much of it is the business end of it, and how much of it is just legitimately he is not physically able to go. And it's going to come up frequently throughout an NFL season.
Yeah. And I mean, the fact of the matter is that we've seen guys that have made business decisions. That's not unusual. We've also seen guys that play and then have to have surgery. I mean, you know, it is a very common thing, and I don't know if football fans understand it, that when you get to the end of the season, it's like, oh, I got to clean up this or clean up. That's surgery. Mm-hmm. Most humans would not want to, you know, if I got a severe
paper cut. They're not just sweeping
cut,
the corners. They're taking surgical instruments into your limbs.
Exactly. Yeah. Can you recall instances where you saw guys that were doing something you couldn't believe, or that were maybe making business decisions?
I can't recall anybody specific, but it did impress me when guys would finish up a season and then, you know, that, you know, that Monday or Tuesday after the season, they're going in to get something repaired and fixed. And it happens all the time. It's just kind of surprising that how many guys, you know, just finish the season, but that's the normal NFL. You play through injuries, you play through pain, and that's part of it. That's what you sign up for. And I can't recall anybody that I can think of that I looked at and was disappointed that they weren't playing because I didn't think they were, you know, injured enough. I can't recall anybody specifically.
I'd say in Detroit, a couple of teammates I had who really essentially played the same position, Sean Rogers and Luther Ellis, where Luther Ellis was out there at one point basically playing with one arm. You know, like he had the entire one of his, I think it was his left arm, his entire arm was bandaged up because he had hyperextended his elbow so poorly that he ended up needing offseason elbow surgery. And he's literally out there playing, and he's just this huge, this mountain of a Polynesian man, one of the strongest interior defensive linemen you could imagine.
Yes.
And he would go out there, hit blocks with one hand, get into the guy with his hat in his hands, with his shoulder and the crown of his helmet, and then extend the blocker away with one hand, just keeping the other one out of the block because he couldn't use it. And we're watching Luther doing these superhuman things on film. But then Sean Rogers was one of those guys, you know, younger guy, came in 01, second round pick. But he was kind of like Patrick's describing, more of a 100%er kind of guy. Like, hey, man, I'm a big dude. The mortality of my career probably won't be as long as some of these other guys anyway. So if my ankle is turned, or if I'm just coming back from a lower body surgery, I'm not going to be one of these guys out there kind of laying it all on the line, especially when a contract year may be there. And so, you know, kind of just like everywhere in society, certain guys will handle certain situations one way. Some guys will be able to just kind of compartmentalize what makes sense to them, you know, for their career, especially, again, if you're in a situation where you're not necessarily feeling like there are championship level expectations on a particular season,
right,
then all of that can end up shaping the way that players will view something, and the way that the organization may not be of the utmost, like on the peak of somebody's priority list for like giving it all to the squad, because you feel like, you know what, maybe the team isn't giving it all to us at the moment either. That can be kind of a difficult balance that plays out.
And there is pressure on players to play injured. There is a lot of pressure. And, a lot of it is coming from kind of the machismo of the game, and the coaches need you and you know how much you're needed. But there's, like, peer pressure, too. You know, we need you to be at your best, or, you know, we need you to be a decoy. So go out there and decoy. I just think that is one of the real untold stories about how no one wants to lose their job, but the pressure to play through injury is added to by every guy that does it. Pretty much half the league by the end of the year is playing hurt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'll give an example of me. I tore my I tore my MCL, I don't know what year it was, and I missed two games, I believe, and Mike Swetman was our special teams coach, and he's like, you have to hurry up and get back because you're wasting a roster spot. You know, being a long snapper, you don't have a backup. So they have to cut somebody and bring somebody in. He made me feel guilty that we had to cut somebody to bring somebody in to snap. So I came back probably a week or two too early because of that. And that's just kind of the way it was back then. But, yeah, there is a little macho-ness to trying to play through an injury. But that was an interesting situation because I was getting somebody cut, and I felt terrible for that. And then I believe whatever his name was, and we brought him back 2 weeks later. But he loses 2 weeks of salary because I got injured.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fascinating subject, and you know, here's hoping. I guess Ian Rappaport reported that he's expected to play today. Hopefully that came from his camp and not from the team, because they
his agent.
That
oh wait,
earlier.
He doesn't have an agent.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. He does have a camp though. We all have a camp. All right, so Jalen Johnson is also questionable in this game. You know, you start talking about Bears defenders and guys that are kind of premium type players, and I would argue they have definitely three, maybe four. Robert Quinn and Roquan, and I would include Jalen Johnson and maybe Eddie if he's got it together and he's in playing up to his contract level. And I don't know, but that would be about it. Now, we know that Jalen Johnson has not been targeted with a pass this year. And in fact, it's 61 plays dating back to last season since anybody's thrown at him. Now, that maybe is an indictment on Kendall Vildor or starting a rookie in Kyler Gordon, who struggled in Green Bay. But, you know, again, that's a guy who is carrying an injury, and there is concern. I believe he's got a quad injury. There's concern as to whether or not, if he doesn't play, or if he does play, maybe you target him. I don't know. I mean, I think you're spoiled for choice.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's, you know, you asked the question, is an indictment on Kyler Gordon and Kendall Vildor over Jalen? I think it is. I think you go back to last week's game and you watch Aaron Rodgers just look right at Kyler Gordon and go right at him. I think it was six times he was targeted that I had that, you know, that you could just tell Aaron Rodgers was looking right at him, knew it was a mismatch. So I think that has a lot to do with why Jalen Johnson hasn't been targeted. But again, I want to go back. I just hope he's not 100%er. I hope he's a guy that can play with a quad injury. And if it is terrible, don't play. I understand that. Him slightly injured is going to be a lot better than the backups going in, and I hope he understands that and is willing to go out there and play. But, you know, he's had a nice season so far because nobody's targeting him, but I think it is because of Kendall Vildor and Kyler Gordon.
I would imagine at this point that the balance, whatever that sliding scale is for how much the opponent is factoring in the excellence that Jalen Johnson brings to the table versus the struggles that might be there for some of the other Bears secondary that, you know, they're looking at the film. They're watching him with just adhesive-type coverage on the receivers that he's guarding. He's not a guy with a bunch of interceptions up to this point in his career. So, I mean, you know, a guy who you're worried about getting a pass deflection, then that's going to be a part of the scouting report. But he's not one of these takeaway magnets either. So I do think that probably on that scale, as great as Jalen Johnson has been in coverage so far between the two, I would say it's probably even more of an indictment on how the opponents feel about the rest of the Bears' coverage.
Yes.
Even in addition to Jalen Johnson, because part of what ends up scaring you is not only, all right, is that receiver open? Are we putting ourselves at risk? But are they going to take the ball away? And the opportunities have been limited because he doesn't get targeted that much. But then even when it's there, it's more likely, and this was kind of the story on him in college as well, excellent in coverage. It's more likely going to be a pass breakup than an interception. And that's where, like I've talked about with Jalen Johnson, to be his cover skills amongst the elite, to be paid like the absolute best in the business, you got to show you're a guy who can take the ball away. He certainly got that kind of potential. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay, they targeted Kyler Gordon as a pass defender, as a run defender as well. He was a guy who they said, every time we get to put him on an island and make him truly play, this rookie is going to have to play the game. And that's a difficult situation to be in against that Packers offense.
Yeah, that's a game plan thing. You know, the coaches, they break down their tape on Monday. Tuesday, they come in. They probably look at that Bears defense, think, all right, this is where we're attacking. Let's just stay away from Jalen Johnson. We've got a rookie and we've got a young guy in Kendall Vildor. This is where we're attacking. That's just the game plan thing that gets put in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And Mully, you know, in talking about the Roquan Smith part of the discussion, I think Eddie Jackson is an interesting example, like referencing, you know, kind of where he's at in his career too. Is this a true contract year for Eddie Jackson? You know, maybe not, but he's certainly a guy who has this as an almost like prove it season, just for whether or not his monetary value will stay where it's at the moment. To go as long as he did without a takeaway, all right, we get the takeaway in week one. In week two, that was the most physical version of Eddie Jackson we've seen in years. And really, the main bugaboo from the first game was he got run over at the goal line by Deebo Samuel, where he made a bad choice to try and go high on Deebo Samuel with a head of steam. We saw multiple times in last week's game against Green Bay where Eddie Jackson looked like a thumper kind of safety, man, where he was flying from the third level, running the alley a little bit, cleaning folks' clocks near the sideline. That's why he's a captain this week. You know, they saw, man, this is not the Eddie Jackson we thought we were getting. It was impressive watching him laying the lumber on some folks in week two. So, I mean, through that lens of whether or not a guy who's already maybe proven something and is in sort of a contract year. Now, by all accounts, Eddie Jackson is completely healthy right now, but it's fun to see not only week one, but then also week two without a takeaway, but a physical version of Eddie Jackson that showed up a lot in that game as a guy as a veteran player who's already kind of gotten his money, but is in a year where he's got something to prove here too.
You know, Pat, I think you reacted when I named four defensive players. I don't think you would enjoy including Eddie in that, and I understand why, and maybe I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because I heard the interview with Jeff Joniak where he talked about he lost one of his childhood friends and then his wife lost two babies. I mean, I don't know that they had a couple of miscarriages. I don't know that we talk about the things that players go through, the life issues that can creep in. I think we talked about Eddie, you know, oh, every time he's playing, he's making a business decision. He knows he's getting paid. He's been ruined by the money, but there are other things that impact people, so maybe I gave him more of a benefit of the doubt than I should have.
No, I mean, it's true. I mean, there's some heavy stuff off the field that guys go through, and that can definitely creep into Hallis Hall and out to Soldier Field or wherever they're playing. And it's unfortunate that that is happening to some of these players. Like, it happened with the Houston Texans, it seemed like. Justin Britt, their center, he's on the NFL whatever the NFL I list or whatever for, you know, non-football injury. He said there's personal stuff going on, so it happens to guys all across the league. And, you know, Eddie Jackson, to me too, I think what I like is his play this year is great, but I think he's is much better, and I think he's playing for his contract. I just pulled up his contract numbers. He's got next year he's going to make $13 million. The following year he's going to make $14 million. So if he goes out there and lays an egg this year and doesn't play well, you need to cut him, right? So then you're off the books for $13 and $14 million in salary next year, but also he's playing for that. So he's, you know, he's playing for his contract as well, which is I guess incentivizing for him, and it's nice to see. But I just hope things, you know, off the field get cleared up for him, and he can get his full mind and body and ready to play for the Bears.
All right, we should let you know that our pregame broadcast here is presented by Bet Rivers, the official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download that Bet Rivers app. Do it today. You'll find the Bears a 3-point favorite and the over-under for the game at 39 points. It might have been at 42 at one point. I know it was at 41.5 at one point, but it's down to 39. So, again, I think John McClain had it right. Could be the fastest game of the year. That was hysterical. We have got to talk about that goal line play. We just got to talk about the difference between finesse and power football, Pat. If you don't want to talk about the Green Bay game, let's present it that fashion. All right. As we pick apart one
we'll
of the worst
let's talk about
plays.
The play, not the Packers.
Yes, okay. There we go. We'll do that next. It's the pregame show on The Score.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Mully, Patrick Manley, and Anthony Herron. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook app today.
All righty, we threatened to do it, and we're going to do it now. We talked about that shotgun play at the goal line last week, and it was interesting to hear from all parties involved. I was a little bit surprised that the offensive coordinator doesn't talk till later in the week, and Luke Getsy defended the call. Thought it was the right play, obviously. They ran it against the defense they were looking at. Now, to remind everyone, they were in shotgun at the inch line, and they got Justin Fields going about 6 yards deep, and he went a little bit to his right, and he went a little bit to his left, and he ran into a big group of bodies. And I guess if you call that a touchdown, Matt Eberflus made that point. Pat, we talked about it in the postgame. If you called it a touchdown, you couldn't have changed it. But obviously, it wasn't called a touchdown, and you couldn't change it. So the play didn't work. And it's a finesse play that you're running in what I thought would be a power football situation. I thought they did a great job of running down the field. They get there. What are you doing? And guys, they had 3 wide receivers on the field. They completed 3 passes to wide receivers the entire game. Did anybody did you think that there was a moment where Green Bay was like, "Oh God, they're throwing it"? I don't. What were your thoughts on that play and the defense of it in the post, all of the post-mortem?
I think the coaches out-coached themselves. So when I went back and watched the tape, I put it up on a grease board in front of me, you know, the X's and O's, and put the numbers up there and saw, you know, that it was to the advantage of the Bears that this play call was, and it should have scored and it should have worked. But on the grease board, it looked great Wednesday, Thursday, Friday when they wrote this thing up. But also to me, and they said they practiced it during the week. So they got down the red zone. They said, all right, this is going to be a red zone play. But when you're on the one-inch line, I think you scrap that play. You say, all right, we practiced it all week and it looked good, but this is different. This is on the one-inch line. All you have to do is get 1 inch to score a touchdown, run a quarterback sneak. How many times you put on, you know, highlights on Sunday night and you just see quarterbacks just take the snap and just put it right over the goal line and score? And it was still advantageous to the Bears to run a quarterback sneak. There was room between the center and the left guard because you had a shaded nose on the right and you had Kenny Clark on the left. Double team him with Cody Whitehair and Braxton Jones, and you walk right in. So to me, it was they outcoached themselves. It looked good on the grease board. It looked like it should have worked, but that's not the right call at that right time.
I think as much as anything, the situation in the game, that drive itself, the way they've been running the football down the throat of the Green Bay Packers defense, majority of that was from under center. And so as that plays out in the game, I'm sitting in the green room over at Fox 32, and it's me and Jim Miller sitting there watching the play together. We're seeing that entire drive play out. You're looking at it, I was like, well, okay, yeah, maybe chewing up a little bit of clock. But, man, they are just marching down the field. And the run game kind of went away after the first quarter. And here we go, man. They're making this happen. And then you get there, and it looks like maybe as Justin Fields reached it in towards the third down, and he knocks over the pylon. All right, you don't get that call. Here we go at fourth and goal. This is now one of those moments where maybe you can draw a line in the sand and say, okay, we got this young offensive line. We got this young QB. Let's impose our will on the road with the QB sneak, or at least something from under center with David Montgomery, who's been just impossible to tackle for Green Bay up to that point in the game. As soon as they come out in shotgun, me and Jim both start screaming at the television. And to be clear, I'm not against all goal line shotgun plays, but they had been under center throughout that entire drive, having success up to that point. And then also you have your, you know, like Sam Mustipha, still, you know, an experienced center, but still a young center. And now you also allow the defenders to tee off on the interior of your offensive line for penetration with the quarterback in shotgun. We see a lot of teams have success with it. Obviously, Cam Newton has made, you know, shotgun formation with goal to go very famous. And Josh Allen has had success with it. Lamar Jackson has had success with it. I'm not just against all shotgun formations in that scenario. For the Bears and what it played out in that game, under center was what had been successful, especially on that drive. But the run game at large throughout the game, a lot of success from under center, and specifically under center, turning around and handing it to David Montgomery. And one of the things that failed on that particular snap, you heard the name Lucas Patrick come up quite a bit.
Yes.
He saw something within the defensive front of Green Bay. He got super light in his stance. I was talking about Bears defenders and whether or not they're communicating properly against the run, echoing calls. It's not a doubt in my mind, whether it's Kenny Clark or the entire defensive front, they're looking at the way Lucas Patrick was sitting back in his stance, obviously looking to pull in that goal-to-go scenario. That allows you to know, all I got to do is now use a sub-technique, create a pile of bodies on the interior. So when the interior of the Packers D-line sees that, they know they just got to create a pile on the inside. Linebackers can flow down and just make it really difficult. Just kind of muck things up, muck with an M, things up on the interior. And now there's not this run lane. There's not an alley that you're hoping sort of a shotgun and a three receiver set formation can end up putting the defense in the notion that they need to spread out a bit more. You know, as a defensive lineman, when you see one of the guards in a light stance preparing to pull there, now you know the play is going to the opposite side of the offensive formation. We knock it back at all right there. We're making life really difficult on this offense. So there's a few different factors in that I think the execution of the play was bad, but just in feeling the game up to that point, it immediately didn't feel like the right call. Not just because shotgun in general is bad there, but under center had been extremely successful for the Bears before that moment.
No doubt. The other thing too, guys, I had my notes here on that drive is that they used a fullback the entire time. They had a fullback until they got to the red zone. They took him out, and they were ripping him, like you said, Anthony, ripping him with that. Why not continue with that all the way through the end zone? I don't get that. And then great talk about the D-line play and all that stuff on the goal line and seeing that Lucas Patrick is light. One thing I didn't like as well is they all went kind of on a back block. They didn't double-team Kenny Clark, the three technique. I thought that's the point of attack where you have to stop that technique you're talking about, that sub-technique and trying to get low. And I don't know if they had a wrong call or whatever they want to call it, a B block where they should have just double teamed Kenny Clark up to the linebacker instead of having everybody go all the way back and have single blocks.
And Cole Kmet got kind of thrown into that hole.
Yes.
And when Patrick comes around, he kind of runs into him. It just wasn't, there was nothing clean about that. And Anthony, I think that's great insight that he was light in his stance. If you're playing opposite him, aren't you following him if he goes to pull? Aren't you coming in? Aren't you creating a problem with the basically just pull it?
So there's either of two ways you can handle it. When you see the guard across from you light in their stance, you can look to penetrate and essentially use the crease that's created by that puller. When you know he's going to go, you can fly to your stance with that much more urgency, trying to get into the backfield through that gap that's now created by the puller trying to leave. That can be a little more difficult to do in goal line because the offensive line, in theory, is lower in their stance and is firing off with more aggression than they would in just kind of a standard down and distance out towards the middle of the field. So one technique is to look to penetrate at that point right there where the body's being left. As much as anything, you can now alert the players on the other side of the formation. They're coming your way. They're pulling that way. They're going to either double or down block that way. So you got to make sure you are back in your haunches and you are lunging forward so they get no movement. If they don't move you, then it's going to be hard for that ball carrier to cross the goal line.
And there's communication going across the D-line as well, right? You're saying light. So the guy, the three technique, Kenny Clark, knows that the puller's probably coming, correct?
Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's something else. We have breaking news and breaking news on the score brought to you by the Beat the Streak podcast. Go ahead, get an inside edge on how to win $5.6 million prizes every day with this baseball season. It's $5.6 million total. Listen on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts. Jalen Johnson out for this game.
Ouch.
So that does hurt. That stings to lose your best cornerback. Mm-hmm. So I guess they can throw to that side of the field now. Or maybe they're still spoiled for choice. Who knows? Or maybe they have more choices. We'll bring in our guy, Mark Rohde. We'll find out. Roquan's active. That's great news. But we'll find out who's going to play, who's going to start, and Jalen Johnson's stead, and what the flip card changes are. We'll bring in Rohde from the field itself. It is, of course, the pregame show on the score.
I would just say it's just basic fundamentals that he can clean up on, you know, that we looked at in detail. It could be from footwork to the fundamental tackling to a lot of things. And I think we detail them out for him, and he's excited about putting those into practice in the game.
Oh, boy, that is Matt Eberflus, the Bears head coach, talking earlier in the week about Kyler Gordon and how he can fix his game. Well, you better fix it quick because we found out now that Jalen Johnson is out. I believe he came out and tried it, and unfortunately the quad injury was such that he will not play. We are delighted to welcome in our man on the sidelines, obviously Mark Rohde. Who else would it be? Who else is our guy? Guest on the Score Hotline are presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Rohde time, Mark!
Gentlemen, what's going on? I will tell you this about Kyler Gordon, and there's no other way to put it. It's a very rough week for the Bears cornerback last week, but he is one of these guys. I know they're all told to shake it off and forget about it, especially if you are a defensive back. That's just the way you have to live. But I'll say this, Kyler Gordon is really good at it. You know, he's one of those guys that is extremely confident in his skills, and from the conversations that I had with him in the locker room this week, he did not seem shaken at all by what went down. And there are people, too, who believe, hey, you were going to have a game like this at some point in time as a rookie cornerback in the NFL. So get it over with now. And he seems to subscribe to that idea. But this is a huge day for Jalen Johnson, obviously. And it's not the same skill set with the Houston Texans coming at them. But now the light is going to be shining on him more than ever, as if it already wasn't in the first two games.
So, Groats, what's your sense for how that affects just the lineup at large in the defensive backfield? Because we've seen some scenarios, even just a couple of games into the season, where Kyler Gordon has lined up outside, depending on the personnel grouping and everything like that. Do you think we still see Gordon featured as the nickel corner, the slot defender? Or is it possible that maybe Kyler Gordon starts outside and then someone else becomes the nickel? Do you have a sense for that yet?
I have not been told anything about that, but my guess would be that he does start on the outside, that it's he and Bayless Jones starting on the outsides for the Bears in this game for sure. And then as far as the slot is concerned, that could get very interesting with a couple of rookies in Jalen Jones and Josh Blackwell that are possibilities for that. I also think you should not rule out somebody like DeAndre Houston Carson for the Bears as well, because he's done it before and done it. Not that they want to keep him in there and have him doing that a whole bunch of the time, but he is a guy that is certainly capable of doing something like that as well. But we'll have to stand by and see. And by the way, I meant Kendall Vildor, not Bayless Jones, as far as the nickel
they
is concerned.
They moved him to defense. Yeah, he's the anti-Hester.
Yes. It's just not working out.
That's how he healed up.
Well, Mark, help us out. Lucas Patrick not playing center, right? So he will remain in rotation with Tevin Jenkins? God, I hate that.
Yeah, I don't know about the rotation specifically, Molly. I have a feeling it will be the case. But I was just told just a short while before we came on, I was told by another player that it would be Sam Mustipher starting at center. And I left to presume that it would be indeed a potential rotation again with Lucas Patrick at right guard and Tevin Jenkins. So at least for one more week. I mean, I guess the good news is if for people who are wanting him to be Lucas Patrick to be the center for the Bears, he did practice at least a couple of times, work out, I should say, at center during practice. And so that would at least suggest to us that he is close. And it's not, I was actually told, too, today that around, I'd say, 10:15 or so, that at that time, they still didn't know who the center was going to be today. Now, I'm not sure if that was accurate, if that was gamesmanship to the reporter, but they made it sound like it was possible for him to start today at center, and that it didn't feel right.
I sure hope they know. They better know what they're doing going in this game.
All right, I would think so, Patrick. That's why I didn't jump forward to report that.
But
yeah.
Like Roquan's injury, he's a guy that's been on the injury report all week. You have a sense of how injured he is. Obviously, he's playing, but is he going to be close to 100%? Was the rest this week needed? I mean, is that what's going to get him back to being 100%?
I think so, Patrick. I mean, I couldn't tell any. Obviously, we couldn't talk to him because he's injured, and injured players are typically off limits. But just watching him in the locker room, studying his demeanor, it seemed like this wasn't serious. Just going on those kinds of things in terms of the way he's walking, and I saw him out here on the field running around. It didn't seem like it was anything bad. And sometimes if it is something more critical, you'll see the player out on the field well before the game starts, one-on-one with a trainer. Now, I did not see Roquan doing that.
That's a good thing.
I've been here since about 8:30 this morning. So, usually that's the tell for me. If I see a guy working one-on-one or a couple of trainers, that's when you start to get nervous. But typically that'll come when it's like just a concern whether or not the guy's playing. But apparently he didn't need to pass any tests. So hopefully nothing gets re-aggravated and Roquan Smith could be full go. And, this might be a get-well game for him considering what happened last week.
Mark Grody out on the scene there at Soldier Field, as he is every week with us here on the pregame show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. When you guys had an opportunity to speak with Justin Fields in person, and you get to talk to him one-on-one after every Bears game. So you've gotten a pretty good sense, as good a sense as anyone in this city could have, for the demeanor, the energy, the vibe of Justin Fields. And in person during the media, and even really after the game from Green Bay, a difference where that disappointment was there at Lambeau, and then, you know, certainly getting to talk to you guys in person, he talked about wanting to be more open, show more of his personality. What have been your observations between post-game at Lambeau and then talking to you guys there during the week here, just on the, you know, what Justin Fields is sort of going through in trying to be himself, trying to show himself, and how that plays out with his demeanor?
Yeah, it's really interesting that he took it upon himself during the press conference, which I was at Halas Hall on this past Wednesday, to, you know, say, sort of fix some things that he had said or add to some things he had said about, you know, essentially paraphrasing, the fans aren't putting in the work, it's the players that put in the work. And a lot of people took exception to that, and he got hammered on social media. And I you know, it sucks when anybody gets hammered on social media. Nobody likes it. But I actually think that for Justin Fields, it was a bit of a wake-up call. As great as his demeanor is with his teammates and his players, and you've heard them raving about the leadership and the calmness and all of that, he hasn't really reached out to fans and shown himself to them. He is unconditionally loved still. And it's, you know, very early in his career, has not been a great start to his career. But, you know, I just right before I came on with you guys, he was over in the Bears tunnel signing autographs. Now, he usually does that, but fans love him, and I think that they would like a little bit more from him, a little love, a little reciprocation of the love back. And you don't have to be the guy that is, you know, Mr. Gregarious. You don't have to be Peyton Manning and doing all the commercials, but just a little something, a little wink to the fans, a little bit more personality. And I think he's known that, and I think it sort of caught up with him this week when it was, you know, whether you agree with what was said or not. I mean, to me, it seemed pretty innocuous, but in the end, it may work out well for everybody, because Justin Fields feels like he might have to open up a little bit more and realizes the job that he is in. I mean, this is the top job in Chicago sports, you know? I mean, he's Justin Fields. So I think we might see a different version of him. The one other thing, too, is that, hey, man, you lost to the Packers. I think people should like that he was depressed after that game. It's not great for the media because he's given the, you know, the short answers. I think that as time goes on and the Bears take tough losses like that, I think that we're going to find that he's going to get better at that, because that, I think that's part of leadership is, you know, keeping your head up, saying, you know, doing the dreadful work of doing the media stuff after the game. But I think it's going to be good for Justin Fields in the end.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm happy to hear that. And that's just, like you said, that's the biggest job in sports here in Chicago. And I'm happy he's willing to put that on his shoulders and grow up a little bit from that. But I need to ask you about special teams, obviously being a former special teamer. I have not been happy with the kickoff return team. I think you talked to Tristan Ebner this week. What did he have to say about him being the kickoff returner?
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy. But I will say this, Patrick. I mean, there was one kick return that he did not get last week. Mm-hmm. So it is, you know, in talking to Richard Hightower, the special teams coach, you know, they are working on specific things with specific kick returners. I do think it will be Tristan Ebner again being the guy, but it's possible that there could be some change-ups throughout that. While we're on special teams too, Patrick, I should mention the field looks spectacular. With, you know, getting to see it in full effect this week without Rivers being a part of the field. And I talked to Cairo Santos. He was the first guy that I talked to about the field, and he did. He was raving about it, and he said that the seams have grown in on the grass, so it's even better than what it was in the first week when he, of course, missed a couple of extra points. So, you know, that's got to get better. He knows he can't do that. And this, I imagine, today will be a good day for Cairo Santos.
Great stuff, Mark. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you.
Later, boys. Have a good game.
See you, Mark.
That is Mark Grody. You heard him there on the sidelines. The crowd's getting ready for it. That's a big blow, losing the corner. And we'll see if Justin Jones, if an undrafted rookie is your corner, that's another guy that we talked about picking on different players. That's a guy that they'll go after, and you hate that idea that they'd be spoiled for choice. So we'll see. Everybody, you know, I looked at Houston's injured list. Brandon Cook's apparently playing in the game, sadly. He wasn't listed. I was kind of hoping something horrible would happen. He'd sprain an ankle on his way onto the field, but no. So you got a pretty good receiver there. I get it. Davis Mills doesn't throw as well on the road as he does at home, and this team has folded in the fourth quarter, but it's dangerous. No question. You know, this may be the low-tier bowl, but – you need your best players if you're going to win games.
I did see where Kevin Fishbane, frequent guest here on The Score, yep, from The Athletic, where he ended up tweeting out an answer to the question I was posing to Grody there, that it'll be Kyler Gordon and Kendall Vildor will be the outside corners. Lamar Jackson is expected to be the nickel corner. And, you know, I think from Kyler Gordon's film in college, from his experience at Washington, he played more on the outside as the outside corner. Was certainly in the slot some as well. I do think, and this certainly seems to play out in the way the Bears are using him as well, he's their best bet for a nickel corner at the moment. In the end, though, for the, you know, the long term in his career, he's likely going to be an outside corner. I just think for where the Bears are as a secondary right now, and him being a rookie, you know, him being in the slot as the nickel defender, I think that suits where they're at the moment. Long term, though, I think he's going to be better suited as an outside corner, and we're going to get our first real look at that with him as a starter out there today.
All right, we'll get the conversation back to the quarterback and the offense. We got to talk about what to anticipate from the Bears. How many passes are they going to throw? Obviously, they can run the ball, and this is a team you can run against. They're really bad against the run. But you got to mix in your balance, and we'll talk about that next. You're listening to The Pregame Show. It is The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.